Saving money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now. Save big money at
Menards. All right, this show brought to you in part by SimpliSafe. If you have 30 minutes, you never have to worry about break-ins ever again. Just go to SimpliSafe.com/Adam. Get all the sensors you need, all the help you need as well to set it up. Custom systems going to show up post haste at simplysafe.com/Adam. Comedian David Koechner, you know him from Anchorman and The Office and Talladega Nights. You know him from everything. He's going to join us. Koechner's going to join us. Also, he'll hang out. We'll do the news. First, there's Geico. Do you own? Do you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
It's time for Nicaraguan Name That Movie with Adam's buddy Oswaldo. See if you can guess which movie this famous line is from.
The name is San Diego, which of course in German means a gole vagina.
If you said Anchorman,
they named it San Diego, which, of course, in German means a whale's vagina.
You're correct. Now, back to the show.
Of course, Dave Koechner knows it. From yes. Anchorman. Anchorman 2, The Office. Thank you for smoking. 40-year-old virgin. Talladega Nights, one of my favorite scenes, when you're man in the bar near the track, and you got the jukebox stocked with Pet Shop Boys and...
And then some jazz, I think.
And some jazz.
We get very upset about that.
I love that formula. And that whole scene.
So good.
So good.
So, Sacha Baron Cohen. I mean, he's just tops.
He is.
Top flight.
He's his amazing talent.
True. Yes.
And probably, I'm guessing, going to do a bunch of serious roles. I heard he was playing Freddie Mercury at some point, and I got really excited. And
well,
then he
would have been amazing,
and,
right?
Yes. Yes.
How great would he have been? That'd have been, yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah. But
were you and I on the short list, long list, any list for that? No.
No list.
We couldn't do the accent. That's the only reason.
If they wrote on the back of that list, okay, my name wouldn't have made it onto that list. Koechner's doing some live stand-up shows. Blue Skies and Dirty Lies is the name of the stand-up tour. It's playing at the Funny Bone in Cincinnati. That'll be this Friday and Saturday. And then the Flappers coming up here in Burbank, Columbus, Ohio, Funny Bone. That'll be October 7th and 8th. How are you liking getting out, getting on the road, and living the life of a stand-up?
Well, you know I have 5 children, so it's not a matter of like, is it?
No, it isn't.
The bare necessities, I'm going to say it, not say it, because we don't want to give Disney any money. The simple bare necessities.
Yeah.
I dig it because I'm also doing new material, and my plan is to launch a whole new show that I'm slowly putting into this show. You know how, Adam, let me talk to performer to performer, comic to comic, how we develop our materials and then launch them in a new hour, as we like to say, Adam. We talk about develop. Of course, you could develop a new hour about every hour, I think. Now, and so, yeah, it's what I've been wanting to do for a very long time. I grew up in Missouri, as you well know, and my dad used to take me every year to the Missouri State Fair, where he displayed in the agricultural section there.
Yeah, so you made turkey crates, right?
Excuse me, sir.
Sorry.
It's turkey coops.
Are we gonna
take a shot at it? No.
You're not.
You know what I have not done is given you some literature, because you would actually appreciate this. You know, I started working for my dad when I was 7. And he was in a metal fabrication business, specifically livestock trailers, specifically turkey coops. Now we're back on track. Where were we? Anyway, so I would go to the Missouri State Fair every year with my dad. He'd be there for 2 weeks, the hottest 2 weeks of the summer there in Missouri, and display in the agricultural section. Mm-hmm. And now it didn't bring the turkey coops. He also did farrowing crates, which I can get into if you want to really bore your listeners. Then also picnic table frames, hay bale stingers, and forklifts.
So he's like a metal fabricator, your
dad. Lost you about a minute and a half ago.
No, I love metal fabrication.
Okay, thank
you. He used a TIG. He used a MIG. He used an arc welder.
Well, this is before the TIG and the MIG. We're going back. We're going back in the 70s, my friend.
Wow.
Yeah.
So he's got a torch out, or has he got
a
stick
out? Not there at the Missouri State Fair.
No, I know. But your dad's working with a carborundum blade, chop off saws, and putting all that shit together.
I ran a bandsaw by the time I was 10.
Jesus,
I'm not
Christ.
Kidding you. If an OSHA guy came in there, fine. I started out cleaning the toilets, which we got to admit could have been more dangerous than anything else I did in that shop because it's 10 men working there, right? All local guys. Probably didn't see the doctor much.
If somebody
had a case of gonorrhea, guess who might have been susceptible?
Yeah, Parasite City.
Right? Danger.
So your dad was a blue-collar dude.
Oh, my dad was a self-made man.
Did he end up taking his company and turning it into...
It was very successful. What it was, my dad only went to eighth grade. My dad has had dyslexia, and no one ever figured it out because my dad was born in the late 30s. Mm-hmm. So it was a one-room schoolhouse. No one ever figured out why Cecil couldn't keep up. No, my dad had a brilliant math mind, but as far as reading goes, he didn't understand that, hey, I can't read this. I don't get it because it's all jumbled. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until my sisters were older they figured out, oh, my God, Dad can't read. And then they figured out he had dyslexia. So but by back in those days, at eighth grade, they said, Cecil, you don't need to go to high school.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine how devastating that is, even in a small town. Because then now everyone knows.
Wait, I'm so smart, I can just skip high school? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, not hardly. And so then he went. My dad started working for his dad when he was four, and I'm not kidding him. My grandfather had dairy cows, and so my dad would work for him. My dad didn't make me start work until I was seven, so he gave me a three-year break.
So did you get in there and learn how to fabricate?
I was a terrible welder. Probably why I didn't stay in the business.
Yeah.
Terrible welder.
Yeah, well, you're only nine at the time.
Yep.
I mean, you may have caught on by your bar mitzvah.
Right.
I don't know if they had a lot of those in Missouri.
I didn't even hear the word bar mitzvah until college.
So your dad was a hardworking dude.
Oh, my God. Yeah, probably 8 hours a week.
80 hours a week.
Well, someone said he used to drink up to like 50 cups of coffee a day when he was working. And then he had to finally stop that because it was irritating everything too much, including everybody else.
So you got the work ethic from Pops?
I've never collected an unemployment check.
So back to stand-up, which is, people say to me sometimes, oh, you're doing all this, you're doing all that. I go, I used to work.
Yeah.
This is standing around holding the microphone and air conditioning. This is not.
People clapping for you.
This is not work. Yeah.
This
isn't work. I mean, I think it's good to get that base. Like, you know what work is. You did it and you watch your dad do it for a long time, right?
Yeah. And you hope your kids do the same thing because you watched your parents do it. And you think, ergo, oh, my kids will see how much time and energy I put into this.
Now, my kids are going to be like, yeah, I saw that Mike Rowe guy on TV once, so I know what work is.
I know.
Unfortunately, it's impossible to pass this along because you unfortunately had to live it.
Right. Exactly. No, exactly. I wasn't going to do that to him because I didn't. Look, I started working when I was seven.
Right.
And I had to do it every day after school. I was not a happy kid. I was not happy to do that. And later in life, you're like, oh, I can drive a standard, of any, you've been in movies like, oh, by the way, the last second, by the way, it's a standard. Can you drive it? Well, of course I can. I'd learned on a standard. My dad was going to not let me learn on an automatic, right? So things like that you appreciate. And also just, the difference between a flathead and a Phillips screwdriver, the most simple basic things in life, right?
Yeah, I don't. I was talking to someone a long time ago, and they said, well, maybe your son will be a better carpenter than you. And I said, no fucking way. And they're like, why not? And I go, because I did it for 50 hours a week for over a decade. You couldn't possibly. You better hope he's not a better carpenter. That means nothing worked out for that boy.
That's right.
Like, yeah, you can't dabble. You gotta dive in. And our kids are never really going to experience that.
And we just hope they're going to figure out what their passion is, right?
Yeah. My daughter's got a lot of range. She was telling me she went to the, what's that country guy's? There's a country singer just performed at the Staples Center. Just got
Keith Urban.
He got
Paisley.
No, young school.
Okay.
Got
Chris Stapleton.
Got into trouble for dropping some N-bombs.
Oh, Morgan Wallen.
Morgan Wallen in a drunken driveway. Right. That guy evidently has got his career back on track. So
his fans weren't upset.
She's like, I want to see. Well, she's like, I'm going to the Morgan Wallen concert, and then I want you to introduce me to Kanye West. And
oh,
I thought, all
that's
right,
everything.
But that's a lot of range.
Yeah,
it's a lot of words either way.
Musically, right there. So.
Yeah, I took my kids to meet Post Malone, and then immediately you get a list of here's who else I want to meet.
Yeah,
like, wait a minute, we just happen to be at the same agency.
Yeah,
it doesn't mean I can.
By the way, is Jeff Ross ever on that list? That's one phone call. Come on, Koechner, come on. You saw the movie? Come on.
Right.
Now, it's always they find out who you don't know, and then that's who they want you to hang out with. Yeah. So, no, our kids will never do a day's work in their life, but hopefully they'll become passionate about something. So this is an interesting point.
Okay. You announced it before you made the point.
I know. I'm that confident about it. We were compelled to work because we were desperate and we had to feed ourselves, and it was really more out of desperation.
It was
survival. So there's two ways to compel people to do shit 40 plus hours a week. One is desperation, like we all had, and survival, and the other part is insane passion. So the desperation part's off the fucking table.
It's not gonna happen.
That's gone. That's all been Grubhub to hell.
Yes.
But maybe they'll think about getting something passionate. And that's why parents in our tax bracket are constantly going, I hope he finds something that he's interested in. Our parents never hoped we found anything. They just knew we would find something or we'd live off a fucking Top Ramen for the rest of our
lives. You will or you won't. Not my problem.
Not their problem. So we don't go, I hope he's a really fucking hard worker. We go, I hope he finds something that makes his lazy ass work.
Well, I do say to my kids, you know you're spoiled, right? And they all go, yeah. But also, my son's gotten several jobs, and they're all surprised, like, oh, you're a good worker.
Mm.
Like, we thought, because your dad's an actor, you weren't going to be a good worker. He's a good worker. Mm. And now he's going into acting, right? And then the thing is, like, now how much will you really work at this? Because I've pounded that into his head. Like, see, you and I can go up in front of 200 people, and it's going to work because we open our mouths and they happen to laugh. That's success. Now, you and I are not going to walk in front of 100 people, do an acting scene, and people go, oh, my, yeah. He's
moving.
Not as pretty as I want him to be, but, boy, he did something. You know, half of it's looks in that end of the bargain, right?
Mm-hmm.
Acting. So that's a whole different world. That's, you know, how do you – are you able to encapsulate charisma, looks – and some other unknown quantity means you so watchable, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's really difficult.
Well, you do have very good-looking children.
I do.
Oh, my God.
That's true.
Really, really
stunning
children.
And not even bragging. It's like, wow.
No, it's true.
Okay, so they got half the thing done there if you live in America. But real quick, I'm going to plug October 5 at Flappers because I know people here in town. I want them to come see the Office Trivia Show with the real Todd Packer. Now let's get back to it.
Oh, yeah. You do the matinee show?
Yes.
The Office Trivia?
And additive, but I'm only doing the one here in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if we sell that one out, we'll put an extra one in there. I hope so. But I'm just doing that because I want to show my agents what we're doing and then get on to the next rung of what that could possibly be.
So how do you get from helping your dad build turkey coops to the footlights of the big city?
Because I was a poli-sci major.
Natural transition.
Yeah. Natural. Here's the thing. When I was very young, I like that Tipton, Missouri, 2,000 people, three television channels, no internet. No, we didn't have cable. You had a limited library. I'd never met an actor. Don't know anybody. Don't, you know, nearest big town, Kansas City's 200 miles away. St. Louis, 225 miles away. I watched Saturday Night Live and Monty Python the same year. And I'm like, that's what I want to do. Who are you going to tell in this small town?
Nobody.
Are you going to share this information? Turkeys. We didn't raise birds, sir.
Oh, pardon me.
How dare you?
I thought you had to have a couple of test turkeys, you know, check out the accommodations.
Did we know many people that raise turkeys and grow out barns outside of town?
Of
course we did. That's actually how my dad got in the business. But here's my dad got in the business because he's a good human. Their buddy, Virgil Cleather, must have had his eye put out by a use of the staples for turkey, for hog wire, the staples you put in the post, flew out, took out his eye, and then it was time for birds to be loaded, and Virgil was out, so a bunch of guys from town came and helped them load birds, and my dad's like, this is the worst rack of cages I've seen. I can build something better than that, and that's how it happened. Yeah. You know how, Adam? Good works.
Yeah.
Wow. And Virgil, what's his last name?
Cleithermos.
Cleithermos.
Virgil Cleithermos.
There were a bunch of Germans in that town. So there's the Cleithermoses, the Knips, Kuttenkellers, Kirkemeyers, Ketterlins, a bunch of them. You'd think that they would remember how to pronounce Koschner.
Oh, yeah.
Koschner.
It should be Koschner, of course. You look at it.
Yeah, but it's not.
Keckner.
Well, you know, I'm only a couple hundred miles from you because I was from Kansas City.
You grew up in Kansas City.
I did. A lot of Knudsens.
Yes, there you go. All kinds.
Oh, they couldn't say Knudsen?
No, Knudsens.
Same with Knips.
Yeah.
We should really take a trip down to Tipton, Adam Carolla, walk through the cemeteries and just see the Penelope of names, the cornucopia of German names, Schmitz.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Neustadts. We had all those. I mean, it was the same.
I had an old Hoffer.
Oh, yeah, you did have an old Hoffer. That's true.
You've got to come. When are we going? Probably next week's too soon.
Just gas up the rig as soon as we wrap this
pod. I got to go on a Monday,
spot.
Tuesday, because, you know, I do stands and upsies on the weeks and sees. Mm-hmm.
Well, getting back to that, so you got to pay the
bills. Road trip or the yes. So as a poli sci major, and I really actually when I got into that, like I'd never met an actor. I couldn't tell my parents, oh, by the way, I'm going to be a theater major. I probably wouldn't have done that because I didn't see how that matriculated to the next thing. I really did love people and I wanted to help people, so I was a poli sci major. And by the time I got to my third year of classes, I realized there's no chance I'm going to, you know, become a senator, because I realized at that point to be, you know, successful in politics, you have to be A, from a political family, B, from a wealthy family, or C, the smartest person in any room you walk into. I'm none of those, so I thought my pathway, if I stayed with this, was either be a lawyer or teach. In fact, that's what a counselor had told me. And I was like, I'm not doing this anymore. So I just punted. I stopped going to my classes. And then my dad said, well, Dave, I don't know what you want. It's good, Cecil Keckner. I don't know what you want to do, but I don't think you want to go to school. And that was it. I thought he was going to chew my ass, but now I'm one of six. And if he's going to get one guy off the payroll, how happy is he?
Right.
So he sold me the car I was driving for $400, a Plymouth Grand Fury 2. I bought that for $400. I got three jobs at three different restaurants, and then I just worked. And then I worked and worked and worked, and I thought, how am I – I know what I want to do. I want to go. By this time now, I'd read all the books about Saturday Night Live and Jim Belushi. You read Wired, probably.
Yeah.
Oh, right?
Please. I never read a book, but I'm familiar
with it.
That's interesting. But you seem smart, so I thought you'd been well read. No?
No.
Okay, whatever.
No,
you just lucked into it?
Yep.
You lucked into your brain, did you? So anyway, by then I'd read tons of books about Saturday Night Live. It was my favorite show, and I wanted to be on it. And I realized a bunch of them had gone to Second City. So then me and Mike Schollmeyer, another Scottish name, German, I'm joking, folks, drove up to Chicago and saw the Second City. And on my way out, I saw they taught classes.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, no, I had a matchbook souvenir, right? And I had a golf pencil because you were supposed to write down on the mailing list. I surreptitiously wrote the number for the school down. Why? Because I'm from Tipton. I expected someone to tap me on the shoulder going, why are you writing that down?
Right.
So I got the number for classes, and then I called, and then that summer came and did a 2-week concentrated course. I was like, heck yes, I'm going to do this. And then I moved back there, whatever it was, nine months later or something like that.
Chicago.
Chicago.
Who was in the troupe back then.
Well, see, that's what the luck was. That the fact that I had this delay, I was 24 when I started, and the fact that I had this delay made me luck into this unbelievable group of persons that will never happen again. So I wrote all these down at one point. Where should we start? So I started with Chris Farley and I were in the same Second City class. So Steve Carell, Steve Colbert, Amy Poehler, Tina Fey, Adam McKay, Rachel Dratch, Rachel Sands. Richard Kine was just leaving. There's Timmy Meadows, Joel Murray.
That's quite a roster.
There's 40. I wrote them down once. There's 40 people that were just incredibly there at the same time because we all were the same age, all watching SNL in our young teens and all going, oh, they came from Chicago and we all went there to get good. We didn't go there to get famous,
mm-hmm.
right? The goal was get good because I'm really good with grammar. Mm-hmm.
Did you actually work with or study under Del Close?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I was with Del at his peak, which was great. He had just started. He was really developing all of his ideas. And so, you know, it was a real hothouse, if you will. It was pretty amazing. And you don't know that's what you're getting. You just know that this seems – oh, there we go. We got a picture. Who – John Glazer. You know John Glazer. There's Adam McKay. Teresa Mulligan writes on TV. Nancy Carell right next to me. That's Steve's wife. There's Timmy Meadows. Yeah.
Wow. God.
That's just one photo.
Yeah, it's I don't know, the theme of life.
I'm sorry, I was looking at a picture for the people.
Just show up, go to work, and do the work, and don't have a lot of preconceived thoughts about where you're going.
Right. No, the goal is to be the best at what this is.
Right now.
And then it'll take care of it. Yeah. The rest will take care of itself, yeah.
Yes.
We also do have to, I guess, here's the thing. When I started, I already knew, I'm like, I'm going to be successful at this. And it wasn't like,
knew you were going to act, get work as an actor.
Yeah.
You knew that.
Comic actor, yeah.
Who had told you that or had anyone told you that?
Well, I've been a class clown since the beginning. I'll tell you what the beginning was, second grade. It's wintertime in Mrs. Power's class. We're in the downstairs of the convent at St. Andrew's School there. And it was a Friday afternoon, and there was 5 minutes to kill before the bell, and we already had our coats on, and she wasn't going to teach. We had to wait for the bell, and she said, does anyone want to come up and do something? So I said yes, and I didn't know what I was going to do. So I got Bob Beshen, because he was the easiest laugh in class. I got him up, and I sat him down on a chair, and I'm still thinking in my head, what am I going to do? Then I took my knit cap off, and I shoved it down his coat, and then I did this pantomime like, I'm looking for my hat. And so Bob's laughing so hard that the whole rest of the class is laughing. What was the out, you say? The bell.
The bell. That's right. Like when they shut the lights off.
And I got laughs, and that was it, man.
Did your family understand that?
No, not. I mean, you know, I'm the third of six. It just looks like you're, you know, screaming for attention, which I was.
Mm-hmm. But your dad, most metal fabricators don't see comedic brilliance in young people. Most.
They want hard workers.
Or to paint with a broad brush.
They want hard workers.
I know a few metal fabricators. They're more serious. They're serious. They have to be. Otherwise, people die.
That's right.
Yes. Turkeys die. They're not. Hank Strassman will lose an eye if he doesn't get serious about it.
It's Virgil Cleather, but I appreciate the effort. You did kind of go half German. numbers of fingers that have been lost at Keckner Manufacturing, I'm going to say probably under five, maybe up to five.
Yeah, not bad.
Over the years, yeah.
Mm.
So
your dad, and where was your mom with all this?
She was taking care of the kids, and she was doing all the books, all the payroll.
Man.
She was doing all of that.
Is anybody – but where did the sense of humor come from then?
Well,
people go, like, my mom was funny when she was younger or whatever.
They both were. My mom would kind of do little voices of the other kids sometimes. And then she's one of 11 kids. Now, you like this one. 11 kids, four in the religious.
Four?
Two priests, two nuns out of the 11.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
Do you think I was Catholic?
Yeah.
And you betcha.
Mm.
Dude. It was a Catholic house, but they had good humor, good Irish humor on my mom's side. They were all educated. I remember my uncle, who was one of the priests, an actual abbot at the monastery. He got up there. Would you know, these family reunions, he'd pull out the guitar and sing these long Irish tales that were kind of funny, right? And so
it's a I don't know. Is it a time that is just now permanently lost in America?
Everything comes back around. Everything comes back around. You know, you think we're going to lose. You know, people still love watches. There's going to be a watchmaker. There's going to be kids that get into that. People love, you know, shoes that actually fit and are unique. There's going to be cobblers.
Everyone needs a turkey coop.
No, sir, we don't sell to the consumer, sir.
Yeah,
but
if you want to broaden your horizons.
Okay. All right, sir. I don't know how. I'm going to bring you some brochure. I'm going to ship you some brochures.
Wrangling turkey seems like
we did not deal with a bird, sir.
Running those across the Rio Grande.
I'm going to have my brother put together a whole – oh, there it was, class clown from my height. There it is. Look at that.
Wow.
Class clown, is that you with the big head of
hair? Look at that gorgeous head. Good thing I lost that hair or else Tom Cruise wouldn't work.
Yeah.
Am I right?
No, he'd be shit out of luck. Well, he'd be a stuntman.
Me and Jackie Fairfax, senior year, class clowns. So someone else's idea, of course. Why don't you get in the garbage can and Dave act like he's put you in there? Like someone else's idea, like this is what represents a class. Folks, what we're looking at is a photo from my high school senior yearbook, and it's Jackie Fairfax is in the garbage, and it's all clean, and there's a garbage sack, and I'm holding it and standing behind her. Like that represents comedy.
It's hilarious.
See?
Or like you're some mafiosa guy who just put a hit out on somebody.
Right.
And
this will catch all the blood spatter.
There'll be here's a project for us to hook up on.
All right. You're not busy enough.
Well, I always carve out a little time for
19 podcasts.
Projects.
Go on.
One of my dear friends who graduated a year before me, he was a senior when I was a junior, Alex, he's I would say he's a successful lawyer.
Okay.
He's not Mark Garagos, but he has a nice career for himself. He was class clown. And he's always not a pie in the face kind of guy. He's a lawyer. He's got good intellect, and he's a funny guy.
Brevity of the soul.
But, you know, when I hang out with him, and I, of course, was class clown the following year, and when we hang out and we have a couple of beers, he'll mutter to me that, it worked out for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I ended up pushing a pencil in some cubicle somewhere.
Well, it's like Heisman winners. You know, they get together one year after the other, and one guy went on to 10 years in the NFL. And coaching somewhere.
I think it'd be fun to get the class clowns that it worked out for, and then the class clowns that are working the night shift at the Hilton in Virginia. You know what I mean?
That's a brilliant idea.
Rich
show
clown, poor
show
clown.
The old picture from the thing. You know, now what happened?
Clowning around.
That took the trajectory. That took you off prize at some point. You're sailing. Somewhere around 17 and a half, and then what? Is it drugs? Is it an issue? Is it father's business? That you got dragged into? Like, what got Koechner was laser focused?
I think I was. I decided when I was 13, I did. I was like, I'm going to go do that.
Right.
Like that. You don't tell people, but it's a real dream.
You were also the homecoming king?
No, annual king. Different.
I think that's better.
Okay, it was better because you had to get you were interviewed. You had to do an interview, and you had to have some knowledge of. You had to have a bit of a political prowess. You had to know who the president, vice president was.
Oh boy!
And you had to know, like you know, I think whoever was, you know, some major senators and stuff like that. And then there was a battery of questions. It was an interview. It wasn't a popularity contest. You were nominated. You and three guys were nominated, but then you'd go to a panel of adults that would then determine who the king was.
This is very like pageant-esque.
Well,
wow.
Yeah, I guess.
And then was there a ceremony?
Questions.
Did you get a scepter?
There is a dance. Is it the annual dance? It's one later that year. That one was always – it's less exciting. That one was like in the springtime, I think.
Mm.
Last chance for a crown. That's what I call it.
I don't know. I feel like this is better than Homecoming King.
Well, we didn't have a Homecoming King. We just had the princess and queen.
You know what I would do? I would just, for sake of discussion, I would just claim the mantle of Homecoming King if I were you.
Okay. Well, let's play with annual king.
I did escort the queen that year.
Mm-hmm. See, there you go.
Yeah. That's all anybody
I guess
wants
I was
know.
On my way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, you were quite the achiever in high school.
Come on.
Annual king, class clown.
Come on, folks.
First off,
plenty of objective.
A lot of range. A lot of range there, number one. Number two, you then rolled into college, right?
I went to Benedictine College in Atchison, Kansas for 2 years by parental decree because that was a Catholic college, and my uncle was abbot of the monastery linked to the college. So
a lot of titles in your group.
Yeah.
You're a legacy.
Yes.
And you pull off that Osmond haircut like a motherfucker.
Really? Thank you.
That was something really majestic.
Could have been a different life.
Man. You really had it going on. Right. Yeah. Now, be prepared when we do the class clown, you know, when we want to know what happened.
Yeah.
There are going to be people that are more successful than us.
Yeah, sure.
Comedy realm.
Right. Oh, you mean just money-wise?
Like Fortune 500?
Yeah, okay. People may have started some philanthropic company. You know what I mean? It could take a turn.
That's
not
for
us. It's not going to be all us rubbing shit in their face. You know what I mean?
I think, Adam, our philanthropy is giving our gift. The joy of laughter.
That's right.
It's a curse.
All right. Let me hit a spot, and then we'll do some news. Tommy John, fall chaos in the pants. Overheating 1 second, freezing the next. You need Tommy John. Oh, when you're that much cooler, you do everything that much better. Breathable, lightweight fabric with four times the stretch of competing brands. No wedgie guaranteed. Non-rolling waistbands. Legs that never ride up. Horizontal quick draw fly as well. Hammock pouch supports and stops the awkward swing and the slap, giving everyone something to be grateful for. Tommy John, they don't have customers. They have fanatics. Over 17 million pairs sold. I will not wear anything other than Tommy John. I tried a bargain brand. It did not work. And I know that sounds insane, but once you go with Tommy John, you'll never go back to what you're wearing. It's the best pair you'll ever wear. It's free, guarantee, right, Dawson?
Go to TommyJohn.com/Adam right now for 20% off your first order. 20% off at TommyJohn.com/Adam. TommyJohn.com/Adam. See site for details.
Well, breaking Bernard news.
Oh, boy.
Chris just says we have one more Bernard, but I don't know what that means.
Oh, we have him introducing himself.
Oh, so from the source.
Bernard.
Let's see how he says it.
All right, so.
We can play the first two if you want.
Billy Jack.
I saw that when I walked in.
Yes.
Tom Laughlin.
Yeah, folk hero.
Also, you know this, already, sorry to interrupt, number one independent film of all time for many years.
Yeah, he wrote, directed, starred in,
unbelievable.
Low budget, made kajillions of dollars, captured the zeitgeist of America.
Truly.
And the bad guy, the sheriff's son, was named Bernard, except for they called him.
Or was it?
Bernard.
Yep.
And he raped Billy.
Raped Billy?
No, his girlfriend.
Billy's girlfriend by the river.
Yes.
And Billy made him drive his big black Corvette right into the lake. It was that, or he was going to kick his ass.
Yeah.
And then he was a kung fu master.
I'm going to put my foot against the side of your head, Bernard.
And there's not
you're going to get in that car.
There's not a damn thing you're going to do about it. Yeah, he was going to take his right foot and put it against Bernard's left cheek, and there wasn't a damn thing he was going to do about it.
Did you watch all three of these in the drive-in?
Right.
Because there's two Billy Jack movies, but the first one was him taking on a motorcycle gang. What was the name of that one?
Born Losers.
Nice. Well done.
Yeah, then that was where Billy Jack was great. Then Billy Jack was Billy Jack, and then there was the trial of Billy Jack, and then Billy Jack goes to Washington. It got a little blowhardy.
I didn't see the third one.
Oh, come on.
Do you know that Howard Hessman does improv in the second movie?
What?
Oh, Howard Hessman was in the first movie.
The first one. I was mistaken.
Yeah, he was in Billy Jack.
He does
improv.
Yes.
That's part
of the committee out of San Francisco.
Howard
Hessman.
Which
is linked to Second City in Chicago. Okay, go ahead. Yes, sir.
There's a school of American Indians up on the hill. They want to live in peace.
Sure.
But the redheaded sheriff won't let them.
Right.
And Howard Hessman plays the hippie teacher who is doing an improv game with them.
Oh,
I'd like to see that.
So
you can.
All right. So this is Bernard or Bernard introducing himself.
Howdy. My name is Bernard Posner.
See?
Bernard.
He calls himself Bernard.
I'm going to trust him.
That's the guy's name. Because that's him.
And so I
would, well, show me Tom Love. Show,
yeah, let's watch that one.
Show Koechner.
Oh, here it is.
All right, sorry. All right, go choose. Back. Go back a second.
Come on, Bernard.
He said, choose. He wrote this script.
He wrote the fucking movie. He named him.
Is that a diss?
You don't stand a chance.
All right.
Don't, Bernard. You don't stand a chance.
They don't call him Bernard.
They both call him Bernard, but his name is Bernard.
Wow.
And you wrote the script.
That's a continuity error.
And you called him. I was 8 when I saw it, so I was like, is it fucking Bernard or is it fucking Bernard?
That's tough.
And
with
I
you.
Need to know. I need to know. None of the stoner adults could answer.
Oh, wow.
My entire life was just people looking at me going, What the fuck are you talking
about? Why are you asking the hidden question?
Because he calls himself Bernard, but then they call him Bernard. And they're like, just shut up. Nobody cares.
You care? Would buy a ticket.
I care. I bet Bernard
would
care.
I'd buy a ticket with real U.S. dollars to see you guys watch Billy Jack in live time.
Oh, man. We should do a stage version of that.
Oh, yes.
I really would buy a ticket to
this. He's already doing it with Rainn Wilson.
Who's that?
Rainn's a dear friend of mine.
I would always skip dinner with Rainn Wilson to go dinner with you. People will stop me on my shows and go, oh, my God, that was my favorite episode.
Where we called Rainn.
It was a classic.
Or Rainn called good. You.
No, Rainn was here, yeah.
Then you called.
That's anyway, right.
Yes, that's from the archives.
Well, we'll take a break, but you can find Howard Hessman doing improv with the... I told you, Chris, you would find somebody calling him Bernard.
Yeah.
You shook your head.
I said it wouldn't be easy. I didn't say it was
impossible. Oh, that's French for fuck off.
Now just scrub until you see a bunch of Native Americans playing Zip Zap Zoo. You'll find the improv scene.
It was a mistake
scene.
To show you that.
Yes. I told you he called himself Bernard, but Billy and girlfriend, maybe they didn't want to show him the respect. Why?
Because Tom Laughlin and Dolores Taylor, who plays Jean, they both say Bernard throughout the entire DVD commentary as well. So they're just saying Bernard the entire time.
So it was written as Bernard, maybe wasn't there that day when the actor introduced himself.
I don't know where Tom's from, so apparently he must have known a Bernard.
Yeah.
Or that's how they
spelled the same, right?
No.
But anyway.
Yeah, Tom's born in Wisconsin.
They should have cleared it up. That's all. It bumped me when I was 8, and obviously I haven't gotten over it.
Haunts you to this day.
Now I'm haunted. I was bumped, turned into haunted. Bumped and haunted. That's my life. All right. Well, found Howard Hessman playing...
doing some improv.
Doing some improv.
Short form.
His character's name is Howard, so...
Oh.
I love it.
All right. Well, Howard Hessman was, I don't know, in everything, but WKRP in Cincinnati, probably best known of a certain age.
Not if you're our generation.
Right. Every class. All right. Quick break. Back with the news right after this.
What does a party mean to you? Good times with friends, loud music, and exotic dancers in cages. Little people in cupid wings swinging from the ceilings. Whatever a party is to you, we know how to make it better. By popping motherfucking bottles. And Corolla Drinks has got you covered. We're proud to introduce to the world the bubbly nectar that is sparkling brosé. We captured the stone and tropical fruits from our original brosé and added a little more party. Pop a bottle at brunch, on game day, at a brisk, or in the club. We promise, wherever you are, just got better. Hurry, this limited first run will run out. To get your first bottle of sparkling rosé for only $25, head CorollaDrinks.com and let the party begin.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral, weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gino Grad. Stuff they saw on TMZ. Joe Biden.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, I'm just stalling until we find that improv scene. So you tell me when to stop. But it's official. We know who's going to headline the Super Bowl halftime show. Her name is Rihanna. Over the weekend, chatter started getting louder that she'd be taking her talents to the big game. And by Sunday, the news was officially confirmed when Rihanna posted a picture of her hand holding an NFL football up to the sky. But that's not really the headline. This is really for Brian. This also means we've kicked off early
yes.
in the Super Bowl season. The snarky sports ball tweets, they are very early now. The first one I saw, and I had to send to Brian immediately, is somebody saying, hey, how much are the tickets to the Rihanna football concert? And the other one, it sucks that Riri's performance will be interrupted by men pushing each other for a ball.
My favorite.
The bar's been raised.
Yeah. My favorite part is like, they pay school teachers $51,000 a year. But a big tall guy, he just drops a ball in a hoop and he gets millions of, yeah, because anyone can teach, bitch. And there's only 7 LeBron Jameses and Michael Jordans and Wilt Chamberlains that are ever born. That's how it worked. And by the way, if there's just 7 people ever born who could fucking teach,
they'd
be fetching that money too.
It's a bad comparison.
Yes. We have Howard Hessman doing improv and a young Dave Koechner inspired.
Yep.
Taking time off and working that brazing torch.
Look at him improvising a very large steering wheel.
He looks very Spinal Tap.
Yes. Yep.
Oh, I don't know, man. I don't really feel loaded, you know? We should smoke another one.
Okay, my grass or yours?
It all tastes about the same past a certain point.
Oh, yeah? I think your taste buds have burned out.
No, actually, it's my brain that's burned out.
The sheriffs and the town people are there
to
watch, too.
They are concerned.
Yes, they're concerned.
Really cool if there's a plainclothes car coming out of the intersection. Oh, come on, man, straighten up and act normal. It's cool. You sure look weird when you're acting normal.
They're smoking a joint, driving a car, and this that the town's
Red
the sheriff.
Stop, right?
Right.
Keeps you on your toes, eh?
Don't think you better pull up to the intersection?
Just testing you.
Hey, look, over in the next car, a couple of high school kids passing a joint around. I'll turn on the red light.
Right. You kids want to pull over up here?
That's the old twist of the scene. It was the cops smoking a joint, gang.
That's good. You know what I appreciate about that? That was the appropriate amount of laughter for the audience. Oh, it wasn't over the top.
They didn't sweeten it.
No.
Maybe they did.
Yeah. No, it's like a Koechner live show. It's the appropriate amount. It's not sweetened. It's not saccharine sweet.
No.
But it's not crickets. It's just the appropriate amount for what Dave is doing on stage.
That was pleasant.
Knowing chuckles.
That reminded me of something I know, but in a different way.
Yeah, I forgot about that. It was such if anyone wants to see a movie that is the early 70s, that is it. Every reference, every theme, musically, it's thematically, through the color palette, the lenses, just everything. Every theme, everything. If you said to somebody, you know, if my son said to me, what was 1972 like? You can only show me one reference. I'll go, you fucking watch Billy Jack and you'll be an expert in 1972.
Apparently, Tom Laughlin ran for president 3 times.
Really?
Once as a Democrat, then as a Republican, then as a Democrat.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think he won.
Yeah, no. I don't remember that working out.
No, history shows he didn't.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's a poli sci guy. So he knows. You don't get to be prom...
Annual
king.
Thank you, sir.
By not knowing who made it to president.
That's right. Do you notice there were no edits in that Howard Hessman take there?
No.
It was all just one shot there.
H-bones.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. I thought probably a little too close. I'd go a little bit wider. But whatever. You're an actor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fine.
Well, let's talk a little Adam Levine because, boy, the meme world's on fire. He had a little indiscretion, little cheating scandal, and the public spectacle that followed really upset his wife, Bahati Prinsloo. But a source tells Entertainment Tonight that the couple is looking to regain focus on their marriage. Levine became embroiled in controversy.
Bernard Levine.
That's right. After he was hitting up some ladies on Instagram, and Summer Stroh came forward with allegations that she had an affair with him for a year.
He did this thing where she was like, this hot chick said she had an affair with him, and then all the women were upset. Mm-hmm. And then he said, no, we flirted, but I never touched her. And then all the men got upset. I get upset. Right, you should have fucked her.
Outraged.
Come on.
What are you doing?
You're in trouble anyway. Right. You didn't get your dick wet.
Send a stupid text.
Right. But then there was one. He was working the angle where we were just kind of flirting with text. Yeah. But at one point, one of his texts said, you look even better in person.
Yeah.
And that's not damning. Good
gives
if
it
you're
away.
Saying.
Now, what's his occupation?
His?
Rock star?
Rock
Maroon
god.
5. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
it goes with the territory. Also, this reminded me of your comparison with Franken versus Weinstein. This is, Adam Levine and Armie Hammer. They're all the same.
Oh, my
yeah.
No, not really. So he denied that it was ever physical. But like you said, there may have been some hanky-panky. But he admitted using poor judgment, and he was flirtatious when he shouldn't have been. And meanwhile, the internet is just – this is Christmas came early for everybody – has considered this – just a gift in the meme world. The DM that initially went viral was him saying, holy fuck, holy fucking fuck, that body of yours is absurd. That was followed by, it's truly unreal how hot you are, like it blows my mind. And then my favorite, I may need to see that booty, fuck.
That's why he's such a great lyricist.
You know what my response to that is? Dudes.
No.
Yeah.
No.
But also... You know, when you see the chick he's married to, he's into hot chicks.
Yeah, not bad.
I don't know what she's talking about, but he's clearly made a declaration.
Right.
That it's like, I'm into this.
And he's into hot chicks?
Uh-huh.
Guys that are into cars aren't into one car. That's, they're pretty much into a lot of cars.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
So what's this gal's agenda? What's her purpose of
blowing out the spot?
Yeah.
I heard on TMZ that... she claims somebody found out about it and was going to put it out or blackmail or whatever. So she's getting in front of it, which, if true is something, it's much better than I thought people should know or whatever shitty excuse most everyone uses.
Or he shuts it down and she's pissed.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. But now others are popping up.
Yeah. He's a fan. Yeah.
I do like when the guy's married to a chick, he's banging you on the side, and then at some point you find out that he's also flirting with other chicks and you're outraged.
Yeah. Now,
there is a woman he lives with who he's married
to. Who may have some thoughts about.
May have thoughts as well.
Wasn't that a movie, I want to say Cameron Diaz and who, with the side chick and the married, the wife
Second
get together?
Second Wives Club?
You'd know better than I would.
These are the second
to bring down.
You might know it because you've seen it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
How soon are you going to see Hocus Pocus 2? I mean, are you in it? Are you going to go to the premiere? What?
That is coming out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've never seen Hocus Pocus 1. I didn't know it was a big deal.
Oh,
it is.
Yeah.
Suddenly it is.
Come on.
Looks like there's money there.
Yeah.
Let's mine over there. Somebody get the old metal detector out.
Yes. Yes, you've heard of it. There's something.
Sure.
Let's do it.
Great. Mm-hmm. Well, big congratulations to Jimmy Kimmel. He has signed a 3-year contract extension to stay on as host and EP of Jimmy Kimmel Live, show marking its 20th season in January.
Crazy.
What the hell? Where did the time go? 20th season.
I mean, once you start comparing them to like, how long was Carson on? How long was Leno on? How long was Letterman on? How long was Jack Parr on? I mean, he's on the cusp of overtaking
20 years
these people. I mean, I don't know, was Leno 19 years, 21 years?
Carson, he got two bites, so
true.
Hmm.
Two Leno. Bites at the apple.
Leno?
Yeah. So you put them all together. I don't know. I bet there's a guy in one of your booths that has the answer.
Yeah.
Well, we look for that.
Bernard.
I was thinking about it. Well, Bernard looked for that. Were you there?
Let's go, Bernard.
You must have been there on the first. I was there on the first night. I was a lowly PA in the basement, but you must have been there on the first night, the Super Bowl night.
Yeah.
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 It was crazy.
It was crazy.
Well, he says
Clooney had the booze.
After two decades at ABC, I'm now looking forward to 3 years of what they call quiet quitting. He's going till 2023. And in an interview with Variety, this is how you know he's a stand-up guy. And you already know, but for the rest of us, he acknowledged he's been thinking about retiring from the show, but there are other things to consider, like his how it'll affect his family, his friends, and his coworkers. And he says, eventually I'm going to have to stop doing this. I'm not doing it forever, but like to consider everybody else, like, how is this going to affect how many people does he employ?
Wasn't that going to be Sonny's path to success?
That's
right. For Uncle Jimmy?
That's he's got to hold on.
Oh, you're running out of time.
He's doing gay porn now.
Okay, we
kind of
put him in a new
shifted
direction.
But it's quality stuff.
Yeah.
High
film.
End.
A lot of people don't film.
That's the first title. No. Well, he
high
can.
End stuff.
High End Stuff's the name of the first movie. He can go do the last year with Jimmy Kimmel, but he's into sports, so it's
Jimmy the sports guy.
It's gonna be Cousin Sal's stuff or Bill Simmons' stuff or Clay Travis over at Outkick or whatever sports the Daily Wire is doing. He'll have a million directions he can go if he wants to. Yeah, if he wants.
Love to see hard workers land on the free.
Yeah, then it'll be up to him.
Wait, are we worried about what he's going to do?
Are we worried about what Jimmy's
doing next?
No, my son.
Oh, okay. Well, that's
Jimmy. No.
We'll always worry about our sons.
Jimmy,
okay.
Not me. But, I mean, he'll go to any of these places and he'll either work hard or he won't, but that'll be it for me. I'll go.
Like a dealer at the end of their shift.
Yeah, I'll go, this is Ben Shapiro, or that's Bill Simmons, or there's Cousin Sal. And have at it. Go do sports.
I'm still holding out for Natalia to work for Garagos. She would be
awesome.
She would crush.
She'll own that practice.
She could walk then to his house.
My God.
But no, I'll tell you who Jimmy is. Jimmy is much more concerned with the 500 people who's he employs on the show than he is for his own well-being. He is so he feels genuinely responsible for everybody and their income and their livelihood. That's how he is.
By the way, thanks for keeping us employed during the pandemic.
Appreciate it. Well, Jimmy floated me for a while. So I just kind of broke off a piece. Most of it went up my nose, but I broke off a piece.
You get some PPE, so.
Yeah.
Well, there is an idea in Singapore that some say we should probably adopt here. I want to get your opinion. A restaurant is providing diners with a quiet place to enjoy their meal without noise of children because they're charging a $10 screaming child surcharge. And it's been implemented and it's working. It's called Angie's Oyster Bar and Grill. It says customers have been complaining about kids running around and they're unsupervised.
An oyster bar?
And grill, being annoying. So they started warning people that they'll just add another $10 to their bill if the kids don't behave. It's working. They've seen a noticeable improvement. I think that would be fucking awesome. And I have a kid. I think
until
that'd be awesome.
We start getting notes from our doctors, like, this is my service son.
Yeah, there you go.
He's obnoxious and he's five, but I have a note that says I need to travel with him and I need to eat oysters with
him.
But
when you have kids, don't you pick kid-appropriate restaurants?
I do.
Yeah, that's on
you. You don't go to high-end joints. Yeah. Oyster bar? I don't think that's on the That's not on the
you
list.
You want the little necks?
Because really, when you're going out to dinner with kids, you've got a very limited time. We know this.
How many – what age was the most infuriating to take five children to a restaurant?
Oh, every.
You're still dealing with it?
Here's why. Because they all order something.
Yeah.
And they all eat less than half of it.
Yeah.
So then I don't order anything. It took me a minute. Like, just
you're snacking.
Order. Right. Well, I'm just taking home, eat later, whatever. Right, exactly. So, but that I can't even remember. It's
what's
just
the
like,
age range?
Charlie's 23, Margaret's 21, Sergeant and Audrey are 16, and Eve is 11.
Wow.
Mm. Wow.
So Sonny and Natalia are 16, right? They're both June.
Mm-hmm.
June. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ours are June 2nd. Yours are June
6th.
6th. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. Or 7th.
I was going to say,
wait a minute, 7th. They were supposed to be June
6th. First week of June.
We got rid of the triple, the mark of the devil.
Boy-girl twins, first week of June.
And you love the name Sergeant.
I love that name.
I love the name Sonny.
Yeah, unless he joins the military and rises to the rank of Colonel.
Uh-huh. It's confusing.
It's
confusing.
Colonel.
Sergeant. Lieutenant Sergeant. Careful.
Yeah, I'm just saying, it could happen.
Right? I don't see him going that way. Yeah. You never know. I wouldn't be opposed because they're going to learn, you know, discipline and hard work and all that stuff. And, you know, the thing is, they're going to know what they want to do when they get out.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. If nothing else. I have no problem with compulsory 2 years of some types of civic service.
We're going to need it. I mean, kids are getting so fucking pasty and fat and shitty and lazy. Yeah. Like, we're going to have to
guess what you don't
something.
Get the first day you join up for the civic service. A phone
Lunchable.
For 2 years.
A phone for 2 years.
Oh, we'll salt them. We'll salt them with Lunchables.
Yeah.
You get plenty of sodium.
And if you've ever been to Israel, the 20-year-olds, 19-year-olds, pretty hot.
Yeah, it works.
Walking around with those. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to have to institute something because kids are pretty much jumping the shark.
And they don't necessarily – so civic service, but they also have to do trades. I'm like, I'm not going to militarize the thing.
Yeah.
But I would – you know, it's trade service and also, you know, civic service. Like you go build a well, go whatever, go to a farm and help out, something, you know, with some practical. So – and also – that also helps you determine, like, I don't want to do this. I'm definitely going to make it a choice now.
This is all just pragmatic shit that's never going to fucking fly in this woman's army.
Oh, and I'm sorry. Done. I thought I believed in you.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry to disappoint. I'm with you. It's diet and exercise. Everyone needs to fucking get out. Everyone needs to break sweat. Everyone needs to find out what they don't want to do. Everyone needs a trade. Everyone needs some guy, some DI yelling at them or some coach or something. It's all the stuff we've done away with, we desperately need, and I don't think it's ever coming back. But I wish it would. I wish there was a compulsory, you know, a job corps. You know what I mean? You're going to go clear brush in the forest, and you're going to learn what work is, and you're going to learn how to get along with other people and work under people, and you're going to know what a hierarchy is. You're going to learn respect, and I would love all – and then you're going to take plumbing classes on the weekends. Like, I would love all of it.
Bare minimum.
We're just never going to do it.
Well, if that kind of attitude prevails,
We have time for one more?
One more.
I really want you to see this. We talked about this the other day, about how you can only go so fast in a car backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Well, somebody heard you.
Yes. I got the tweet.
Okay. Well, a driver at a racetrack in Kentucky, his name's Scott
Bernard.
broke a Guinness World Record when he drove a 2017 Corvette Stingray for 1 mile backwards, and it took him 75.18 seconds. Go ahead, put the video up. He smashed the previous record of 97 seconds. And this is no small feat. As Berner said, it took about 2 years to make sure all of the Guinness World Record rules would be followed in his attempt.
So you're going to see 150 miles an hour?
Yeah, you're going to see him coming down the track backwards. And go ahead and put on the audio if you have it.
I don't know if he...
Yeah, look at it.
I don't.
It's weird, right?
I don't know if he re-geared it or the Corvette will go 50 miles an hour backwards. Mm. Seems like a weird gearing thing.
I mean, is that impossible to go backwards 50 miles an hour?
Obviously not.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, you'd have to crack the transmission open and re-gear it.
So it's not stock.
I don't.
I'm disqualifying
this.
Plus, it's not very exciting footage.
But What if I told you he had fast food in his lap and his girlfriend was riding shotgun?
No, oh, that's good.
And he had his arm cocked over the passenger seat and was eating like a French fry while...
That's good.
Smoking.
And argue with her about something
with a lit cigarette. Would you then put him back in the books? Because I would.
Yes.
Don't you guys remember the film License to Drive with the two Coreys and how the pivotal scene in the movie is he has to drive to the hospital backwards? Mm-hmm. It can be done.
Find out, Chris. I don't know. What is the max speed of a Corvette or Mustang or something in reverse? I'm guessing we get to 50... You've re-geared it.
Don't you just call Matt Damon?
That's me. Oh, for Bourne?
No, Ford versus
Ferrari.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. I was on
Corvette.
Did
you like that
movie? I love that movie.
Yeah. I'm looking. The first thing I see is, well, first of all, for him, Berner's Corvette can hit 54 miles per hour in reverse gear, but he did not have to drag race backwards for the record. He just, I guess, had to go. But Drive.com says on this YouTube channel, aptly named Always in Reverse, in which they test the top speed of different cars in reverse, Mr. Berner found that he found the 7-speed manual C7 Corvette hit a top speed of 87 kilometers per hour.
Kilometers. That's 50.
Bernard.
Yeah.
So mid 50.
I guess maybe it can do it stock. It seems
thanks to its three, and I don't know what I'm saying here.
Nonsensical.
Thanks to its 343 kilowatts. It just says KW.
This is all
power
European
output.
Shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Real quick, Gina, can you tell us how big the audience was? What you just viewed. How big was the audience for this guy's burner, backward burner?
I saw at least a dozen people.
I saw one.
Yeah.
One guy hiding behind a high concrete.
Yes.
Thinking he was the still photographer, which was even less exciting than the video footage.
He was rolling on it. All right, well, we'll see if we can suss this out. Maybe tomorrow we'll get back to it, but we'll bring it home, Gina.
You
Grad.
Got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news. I may need to see that booty. Fuck.
Gina. That was the news with Gina Grad.
Keckner's doing his live shows, and he's going to be in Cincinnati at the Funny Bone this Friday and Saturday, and then there's going to be Flappers out here in Burbank on
October 5th. Yes.
October 5th, and then October 7th and 8th, Funny Bone in Columbus, Ohio. For dates, you go to davidkeckner.com, and you can say hi to him on the Goldbergs as well, Wednesday nights on ABC. Richie Stevens, The Gangster's Guide to Sobriety, My Life in 12 Steps is the name of that book. I'm going to be at the Hollywood Improv October 19th with my stand-up friends doing live shows out here. And you can go to amcroll.com for all my live shows. And a new book, Everything Reminds Me of Something, is out as we speak. And until next time, it's Adam Kroll for David Keckner, Richie Stevens, and Ball Bryan and Gina Grad saying mahalo. Well, Hitler made a point.
Make sure you get a copy of Adam's new book, Everything Reminds Me of Something. It's available everywhere. Finer books are sold. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. Get your tickets to see the A's Man. Get them now at adamcarolla.com.
You own, you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Saddle up and get ready for Westerns Weeks on Pluto TV, all for free. We're coming in blazing with favorites like True Grit and Once Upon a Time in Mexico. Or immerse yourself in binge-worthy series like Yellowstone and Walker, Texas Ranger. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies, TV shows, and more. The best part? It's free. No credit card, no sign-up, no fees. Download the Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start streaming now.